I try to always keep an open heart and allow the Lord to continually minister to me. But as of late, it's been a little different. What I want to begin looking at is a series of messages on the heart of David. And this will be part one, and I'm titling it, He Raised Up David. He Raised Up David. And here in Acts, and in 1 Samuel chapter 16, Acts is where we're going, Saul is rejected in chapter 13 and again in chapter 15. And I don't want to get into Saul because that's the negative aspect. I want to try to stay in the positive, which is the Davidic aspect. Saul comes and is spoken to by the Lord in chapter 16 and verse 1 saying, How long will you mourn over Saul, knowing that I've rejected him? He says, I want you to go to the house of Jesse and I want you there to anoint one of his sons, one of Jesse's sons, to become king. So Samuel did, and down in verse 6, Jesse's oldest son, Eliab, is seen, and Samuel said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And then in verse 7 it says, But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I want a heart for God. If there's anything that I want in my life, it is to have a heart like David, a heart that God can look into and find nothing. Look, if you will, in Psalm 17. We just ministered this psalm. This was just the last Wednesday's message. We looked at this psalm. And again, it deals with the heart. Psalm 17. I'm going to read verses 1 through probably 4. David here is praying, and if you'll see the superscription, it says a prayer of David. Now, if you come to any of the Psalms lessons, you understand that it is a prayer, but it's also a song. David sang his prayers. More is recorded about David praying than any other character in the Bible, bar none. Bar none. More is recorded about David praying than there is recorded about Jesus Christ praying. Jesus Christ from the lineage of David. And David is the only individual in all of Scripture that says he had a heart for God or was after God's heart. Verse 1 says, Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my judgment come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes look with equity. Thou hast tried my heart. Thou hast visited me by night. Thou hast tested me and dost find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. As for the deeds of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept from the paths of the violent. David says, Lord, you've tried my heart. You've tested me. You've come in the night times when I really wasn't looking for you. You come in and invaded my life. You invaded my home when I really wasn't ready for you to come and look and invade my life. But you did, and you tried me, and you found nothing. I want that heart. I want a heart that the Lord can come looking anytime that He wants to, and He won't find anything that's wrong in there. So this is where the Lord's got me and where He's dealing with me. And so I want to begin this, and these were just added scriptures that I really wasn't going to look at today. But if you'll now look with me in the book of Acts, this is where we'll begin our study and begin our look. I just wanted to open that thought up about the heart. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, it begins with the appointing of Paul and Barnabas by the church at Antioch. And the sending of them forth, and they go to the Isle of Cyprus. They go through Cyprus, and then they pass on through to Pisidia Antioch, which is another Antioch. It's not the same one that Paul is sent from, but it's another. It's Pisidian Antioch. And they asked Paul if he had something to say, and if he did, to stand and say it. And Paul stood, and he began to preach to them. the message in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what I want to draw from there is verse 20, 21, and 22. And after these things, he gave them judges unto Samuel the prophet. And then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. How'd you like to have Saul for 40 years? And after he had removed him, don't miss none of this now, after he had removed him, he raised up David. Would you say that back to me? He raised up David to be their king. He gave him Saul, but he raised up David. Now, I just said a whole lot. Now, and that's what the whole message is based around. He gave him Saul, but he raised up David. We have no concepts in Christianity today of God's raising us up. His dealings with man, his dealings with our heart. He found David, and we're fixing to read it. He says, I found David. He found David, a shepherd boy. Then he took 13 years and raised him up. He raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. And all of this is in contrast with Saul. And then from the offsprings of this man, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. I want to look at this. I want to exegete it some. I really want to break it down. Because this ministered to me in such a beautiful way just this past last night and this morning. The first thing that he says there that I want to bring out is he says, I have found David. Now the implications are there that he had to search for him some. That people that are after God's heart aren't easily found. Now, I know nobody's here is that way, that we're all after God's heart, right? And the Lord wouldn't have any problems at all coming in here and just picking anybody to fulfill the role of David. And I'm jesting, and you know that, because if we're honest with ourselves, we all know there are areas of our heart that need to be dealt with. And if you don't understand this principle, you won't understand God, and you'll think He's mad at you when all the time He's raising you up. You'll think that He's judging you and He doesn't like you, and all the time He's raising you up to fulfill your purpose, that the reason from the foundations of the earth, that as Dr. Ted was saying a while ago, you were chosen. I found David. I found him. And the second thing he says, he's a man after my heart. Now I looked up the word heart just to make sure that I'm on track here. And the heart means the heart. It's the Greek word cardia. Now you can see the word heart in there, and like cardiac arrest. What is a cardiac arrest? It's a heart attack. It's the word cardia. David was after God's cardia. It means the heart. It means the thoughts or feelings. It means the mind. It means the middle. It's the innermost part of God. It's the middle of God. It's the depths of God. It's as deep as you can get in God. That's what David was after. I looked at it in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it's the most interior organ. So what David is after here is to get into a place in God, into the very innermost depths of God. David then, he says, the Lord said, I have found David, a man after my thoughts, a man after my feelings, a man after my mind, a man after the middle or the depth of me. That's what I want, folks. I have a terrible time expressing it. But more than any other thing, more than pleasing you, more than pleasing my wife, more than pleasing anybody, I want to please Him, and I want to be after His heart. The thing that has always been in me since the Lord saved me, since I came to Him to serve Him and gave my life to Him, has been nothing more than trying to be obedient to His commands and orchestrating my life, my home, everything that I touch according to the commandments of God. I'm after His heart, His depths. Psalms 103 and verse 7 says, He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the sons of the children of Israel. I can study and read His acts in the Word of God from now until I die. I can teach Him to you. I can preach about him, and there's good preaching. That's good stuff there. But what I really want to know is his ways. I want to know his innermost beings. I want to know what makes the Lord tick. I want to know what he expects out of not just me, but us. I want to know what is in the depths of the heart of God. How this whole thing moves and what it's supposed to be about. I just don't want to know his acts. Israel, the sons of God, the children, the saved saints know his acts. But it says that Moses had an intimate relationship with God, and Moses knew his ways. I want to read what I wrote. We live in a time when many desire to know about God. There is a lot of knowledge about his acts when we need to know his ways. We need to know why he deals with us the ways he deals with us. We need to understand why he allows things to happen in the earth the way they're happening in the earth. We need to understand why abortion is. I don't understand why abortion is, folks. And the answer's in God. We need to understand what he's doing here. We need to understand humanism. Why is humanism such a Goliath in the land? And who killed Goliath? And who's going to kill humanism? You see, and David is a type of Jesus, and there's nothing else, there's no separating the two. There's going to be a stone that hits humanism. And it's a stone that's cut out of the mountain. And what does it do? It comes and it crushes every other kingdom, doesn't it?
Right.
And understanding, getting into God is what I'm talking about. Not just knowing about God, not just knowing his acts, but understanding his ways. I can read and study his acts. I can know what he's done. I can predict what he'll do. And I can watch what he's doing. But I want to know his ways. I can teach and preach the rest of my life about his acts. But what I desire is for him to reveal to me his ways. That's knowing God's heart. That's being after his heart. Am I talking to anybody now? It's more to this thing that we're coming into. It's more in the church today than being saved. There's more than meets the eye as you come into Christianity. There's more than the born-again, quote-unquote, experience. You have a 13-year trial time now where God will raise you up. Now, how do we do this? How do we come to a place where we can be after God's heart? How can we come to a place of intimacy with the Lord, like Moses? The best way I suppose I can relate it. You know my acts. You watch me. You see my idiosyncrasies. You see my faults. You see my strengths. You see those things. You see my acts. But my wife knows my ways. The reason that she knows my ways is because she loves me. Because she's after my heart. She doesn't want anybody else to have my heart. Now let's parallel this with the church. Should the church be after the Lord's heart? We can know his ways, not just know his acts. We can have an intimate relationship with the Lord. We can have an intimate relationship with God. And we can know why he does what he does. David has more recorded about him seeking an intimate relationship with his Lord than any other Bible character, bar none. When somebody talks about praise, who do they use as the biblical example? Was David after God's heart in praise? Did he want to know his Lord in praise? When you talk about praise and worship, you can't find any more information than what is recorded about David. What about prayer? What biblical character, and I just told you a while ago, but what biblical character is there in the scriptures that prayed the most? You see, David prayed more. There's more recorded about David praying than any other Bible character. Worship. What about repentance? Who repented the most in the scriptures? You see? But that was the difference of Saul and David. Now, I can't get into Saul, and I won't get into Saul. I refuse to get into Saul. But you see, Saul never learned how to repent. Now hear what I'm going to say. Will you hear what I'm going to say? the kingdom of God was taken from Saul. He was rejected by the Lord. But he was anointed. He was chosen of God. But yet he was rejected of God. Now, here, write this down. You need to read, because this is where we're going to be for the next several weeks. You need to read 1 Samuel chapters 8 through the end of the chapter, and then 2 Samuel, all of it. What that'll do is tell you an outline about David and Saul, and David and Saul, Absalom and Samuel. That'll give you an overview of what we're going to be doing. Because in there is the secret of David's heart. Now, Saul made mistakes. He made big mistakes. So such a mistake that the Lord rejected him from the kingdom. But he never committed adultery. He never shedded innocent blood. David did. Yet David was established and Saul was rejected. Why? Because David knew how to repent. And I'm not talking about coming to the altar and crying and bawling. I'm talking about David knew how to change his heart. David knew how to think differently. David knew how to really change his life. David knew how to repent. Saul never did. Now, if you'll hear what I just said to you, Saul never committed adultery. Saul never shed innocent blood. David did. David was exalted. Saul was rejected. It's got to go back to your heart. David had an intimate relationship with the Lord. Now, when we come in here and we try to talk to you and teach you about praise and worship and repentance, and we try to talk to you about prayer, the way that many times this is received is like we're trying to stuff some religious act down your throats, trying to make you do it. But if you can hear what I'm saying, these are not religious things we try to make you do. It's ways of intimacy we're trying to teach you to have with Him. If you can look at it in that light, if you can look at praise as a way of intimacy with Jesus, if you can look at worship, and if you can look at prayer as a way of intimacy with Him, and having a heart for God, it'll change everything. You won't have to pray. You'll want to pray. You won't have to praise. You'll want to praise. Your whole thinking and attitude will invert, and the kingdom of God will get right side up in our lives. Now, I'm talking to Dale, but I'm just kind of letting you listen, okay? I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I'm talking to Delbert. I want a heart for God. Now, we learn His ways by getting close to Him. We learn His ways by prayer, by praise, by worship, by repentance. We learn His ways by getting close to Him. She learned my ways by getting close to me. You know my acts. You with me? All right. You know your wife or your husband because you're close to them. You know how they think many times before they say it. You know what kind of mood they're in many times before it's expressed. You know this individual before this individual has to tell you. You know their ways. Now, Moses knew God's ways. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. Israel is at the foot of the mountain, but where is Moses? Moses is at the top of the mountain trying to get God's face. Now, that's the difference. Where are you at? Oh, here. Where am I at? Am I at the foot of the mountain? Am I down there saying, Moses, you go talk to God? Am I down there saying, give us a king because I want somebody else to pray for me. I want somebody else to study for me. I want somebody else to teach me. I want somebody else to praise for me. Am I at the foot of the mountain saying, Moses, you go do it? Or am I a Moses? Am I a David? Am I at the top of the mountain trying to get His face? I want to be Moses. I want to be David. I want to know Him. Then number three, the third thing that this passage spoke to me. I have found David, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Who will do all my will. Now, when you talk about His will, you have to talk about the cup. Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Right. Now, so when we're talking about the will, Jesus and the Father's will for you and I, we're talking about the cup that we have been given to drink in this life. the thing that, that God has given us to partake of in this life. We're talking, we could say the same thing in taking up your cross, your purpose, your cross, not my cross. You don't carry mine, I don't carry yours. We each one have an individual cup. We each one have an individual cross. Jesus had a cup. And you can't separate the cup from his will. Now, the thing that I'm wanting to project to us here is that do we have a glimpse of his will? And we have to see this in two dimensions. First of all, do I understand his overall purpose? Have I got a glimpse of his overall plan and his overall purpose? You see, David knew something. David knew that God's overall plan was for natural Israel, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Would a nation that wasn't need a king? If it wasn't a nation, would it need a king? No. You see, David's overall purpose, what David understood that God's overall purpose was for the natural Israel. And his little purpose, his individual purpose, was just a part of God's big purpose. Are you with me now? Now, it wasn't God's purpose was not evolving around David. It was revolving around Israel. And David had a part in Israel. I want to say something. I'll use me. God's purpose does not evolve around Delbert. It revolves around his church. The church is the spiritual Israel. The Israel of God today. The new nation. The holy nation. And unless we've got that understanding, we'll never understand his will. Unless we understand that God does not live to bless Delbert, but he lives to bless his church, we'll never understand the purposes of God. What I have to understand is what part do I play in his church? I got to plug into that purpose. I have got to get before God, find out what it is he wants me to do, what it is that he's anointed my life to do, plug into that purpose, and plant myself there. Now, again, David was anointed king at about age 17. He never became king until he was age 30. He had 13 years of being raised up. He had 13 years of school. He made some mistakes, but he had a heart for God. And no other person in the Scriptures has ever said, "A man after my heart." Do I have a glimpse of his will and purpose? A, corporately the church. B, individually, my part in the church. David understood that God's purpose was to bring Israel to a place to influence the world. Was it? His part was a part of Israel. David's part was a part. David was a part, not the whole. God's purpose today is still Israel, spiritual Israel, which is the church. I'm a part of that purpose. I'm not the whole. The way the Lord will bless me is that I'm plugged into his church. I'm a part of the body. I'm not the whole. Saul and David are set in contrast in these verses. He says he gave Saul, he raised David. He removed Saul, he established David. Evidently then it says that David was a man after God's heart to do all his will. Evidently then Saul was not after God's heart. And surely did not do all of God's will. There's a contrast there. And what I'm trying to say here is unless I understand that I'm not the whole, but I'm the part. Paul said it this way. Can the eye say to the foot, "I have no need of thee"? Is my foot and my eye plugged into my body? We've got to get that, folks. The Lord does not revolve around Delbert. He revolves around his church. And the fourth thing I want to bring out is he raised up David. He gave them Saul. I'll say that again. He raised up David and he gave them Saul. Now, I wrote here the church has no concept of this principle. David was found and chosen and anointed to be king when he was about 17. But God would raise him up for 13 years. There's the basic teaching in Christianity that when you come to the Lord, you get it all at one time. Am I right? So totally contradictory to Scriptures. Does it go along with the Old Testament or New? When you come into the Lord, there are things for you to move into. Now, I'm not just talking here, and I've written these down. I'm not just talking here, though, about repentance and water baptism and spirit baptism and communion and giving. Those are initial responses. There's more to it even than that. David had to learn some things. David had to learn how to be king. He gave him Saul. Now, if you know much about Saul, Saul is not the guy you would want to be over you. I mean, how would you like to be sitting at a table and a dude picks up a spear and throws it at you? This is Saul. How would you like to run into caves and have to hide from the guy? This is Saul. Saul forgot his entire purpose. Saul forgot what he was anointed king to do and chase David. David became what Saul was consumed with. Saul was anointed to be king and set Israel free from all of its warring enemies and to establish the nation to such a degree that it would influence the world. Now, I can bring this very easily into the church, and I don't want to get in too many present truths and parallelisms here. But the church is so much consumed with itself. We're so consumed with the Baptists or the Methodists or the Presbyterians, and they're so consumed with us that we forget who the real enemy is. We forget about Goliath, humanism. We forget about the bear and the lion. The bear, hairy flesh. The beast in all of us. We forget about the lion. You tell me who the lion is. Satan. We forget who the real enemies are. We forget about the Philistines, who are a type of demonic spirits. We forget about Goliath, who is humanism, the champion of the world. And we get so into ourselves. We get so consumed with David. When we come into the kingdom, we must be raised up. There's such a principle here. Lance, God's raising you up. Do you understand that principle? Do you understand I could anoint you right now as pastor of some church someplace, but you're not yet a pastor of some church someplace? Do you see that? But God's got plans for you and a purpose for you. You come into those things. We got to learn the principles of God. The ways of God. Not His acts, but His ways. Monty, God's raising you up. He's dealing with you, right? And he's whacking and He's cutting and He's dealing with you. And He's going to use some Sauls on you. Not Saul, S-A-W, S-A-U-L-S. He's going to use some men on you. And you're going to sometimes feel like you got to hide in cages and caves from people. Sometimes you feel like it'd be better to go to the Philistine side. But you got to understand that God's working something into us. He's working a heart for God into us. Amen. If it wasn't for Saul, David could have been just like him. Romans 8:28-29 says that we are to be conformed to an image. What is that image? Now, how many of you are like Jesus Christ when you get born again? I know some of you have already got there now, but Lord, help us. You see, there is some changing required. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we are changed from glory to glory. He's raising us up. Romans chapter 2:28-29, I believe, says that He wants to circumcise not the flesh, but the heart. He wants a new heart in us. He wants a heart for God. A heart that can receive what He's got for us. A heart that will turn to Him. That's what David was. He desires to raise us up. God gave them Saul, and He raised up David. Now, hear my truth. We can look at somebody else and say, that's Saul. And look at somebody else and say, that's David. But the truth is that within me, there's some Saul. Saul is a type of self-will, a type of flesh, a type of compromise, a type of my way. It's that part of me that when I'm afraid and somebody gives me some fear, that I'll pick up something and throw it at them. It's the part of me that retaliates. But praise be unto the Lord Jesus, just as sure as there's some Saul, there's some David. Now, David is a type of Jesus Christ. How many of you have Christ in you? You see? David is a type of Christ in you. It's your heart. It's the Jesus that's in you. It's a type of Jesus. It's the part of you that has a heart for God. Every person under the sound of my voice and that will ever hear this tape understands what I'm going to say right now. What we're talking about here is there's a part of every person, man, woman, child, girl, boy, whatever that we are, there's a part of every one of us that wants to do nothing but please God. We want to obey His commandments we want to do everything that the Lord wants us to do. Is that correct? There's a part of you that wants to do that. There's a part in every one of us that wants to do that. That's the David. That's the heart that's in us. It's a heart for God. It's a heart that will do all His will. It's a heart for God to do all His will. And it's the part of you that's being raised up for a purpose. David's purpose was to be king of all of Israel. What is yours? What does the Christ in you want you to do? What have you been brought into the kingdom, Esther, for such a time as this for? What is it that the Lord is doing in you and through you that nobody else can do? Every one of us are so interbred. If you'll notice here, it talks about Saul, the son of Kish, and David, the son of Jesse. Lineage is so important to God's purpose. You have particular genes and particular things in your being that nobody else has for particular abilities that God's given you to do something in the kingdom of God. It's important who your daddy is. It's important who your mama is. From that, you've got abilities and talents that God wants to purpose and use in the kingdom of God. It's important. It's the David that's in us for your purpose. The truth is this. Now, hear me. The Saul in me will not be removed until I allow the David in me to be raised up. Who removed Saul? The Lord God. Now, many of you fight 40 years with the same problems. We go over the same mountain a whole life. Our entire generation has spent fighting the same battles, going around the same mountain. My principle is this. The reason that we do that is because we don't allow the David to come forth. Saul will never be removed in me, will never be removed in you until David is raised up. But David's coming. David's coming. God's raising him up. He's coming in you. He's coming in me. And now little, one by one by one, every enemy in my life is being destroyed. I haven't gotten them all yet. But one by one by one, as David comes, Saul is removed. But Saul will never be removed until David comes. And again, how does David come? The Lord raises him up. In you and in me, we've got to have prayer. I'm not talking about bless me prayers. I'm going to let Pastor Tebow preach on that one time. He's been sharing a lot with us about prayer on Wednesdays and Fridays. He's been sharing a lot. The Lord's been showing him about prayer. We're not talking about prayer that's centered around me, but a prayer that's centered around the church. We're talking about prayer, folks. We're talking about prayer that will affect the entire earth. If we can see that that's what prayer is to do, prayer is to interject God, divine God, into natural circumstances quickly. And I got to close. I'm done. I'm closing. Joshua had a natural circumstance. He was battling with the Canaanites. The sun was going down. And the battle would be lost if the sun went down. And Joshua said, Lord, 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 help us. You got to do something. He called for the Lord. He prayed a prayer that would intervene God into a natural circumstance. The natural thing to do was the sun to go down, wasn't it? But what happened? The sun stood still. Some of you and I need the sun to stand still in our lives sometimes. We need God to intervene into our lives, into our families, into our finances, into our hearts. And if we can see that what prayer is getting God to divinely intervene into what would naturally consume us. God set things into a natural order of being in Genesis chapter 1, in creation. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Then they said, let the moon come forth and the sun to give what? Light and day and rule over the darkness at night. Rule over the night. One rule over the day, one rule over the night. I'm trying to hurry. Stuttering. It's a natural thing. The sun goes down, the moon comes up. Right? That's the way it works. That's natural. What Joshua did was bring God into a natural circumstance. There's things in our life that will utterly and totally destroy us. Utterly and totally destroy people all the time until God comes in and intervenes. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, the intervention of God into my life. I am saved by grace. There's nothing in you that can get saved of your own. It's a gift of God. God comes and just interjects Himself into your life. What prayer, if we can grasp what prayer is coming to change the earth. Not change little me. It will change little you if it changes the earth. You can make all the laws you want to. You can make all the edicts that you want to, President Bush. You can do it. But until you change people's hearts, you'll never change people. Is that correct? All right, now I'm done. We'll fight the same battles every year. Saul did. When you read this passage of the Scriptures, you'll find out that Saul fought the same enemies year after year after year until he finally became consumed with David. Saul did. But when I get a heart for God in a situation in my life, the enemy then is destroyed. And that's David. David destroyed all the enemies, and the kingdom was at peace. The kingdom was at peace. I hope you're hearing what I'm trying to say. Heads bowed, please. It's time for some commitment. I just want you to commit. If this is ministered to you and as it's ministered to me, and I have to believe by the Holy Spirit that it has, how many want to be like David with a heart for God? Would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. You want to be intimate with the Lord. Okay, put your hands down. You want to be intimate with the Lord. Now, here's what this is requiring. It's going to require prayer. You answer me now. I preached it to you. Who prayed? Who is recorded praying more than any other biblical character? David. It's going to require prayer. If you raise your hand, then here's another commitment that you've got to make. You've got to commit to praise. Who praised the Lord more than any other biblical character? David. And he worshiped the Lord. He talked about blessing the Lord. See, these are commitments that we have got to make. It can't be looked at as some religious act that we do. We've got to understand it, that we're after God's heart when we do these things. Now, here's the outline of the message. Has God found you? Has He? Has God found you like He went and found David? Yes. Are you after His heart? Are you intimate? Will you do all His will? Will you bear your cup? Will you understand your position in the body? Will you allow God to remove the Saul and raise the David in each of us? Would you slip your hand up if that's you? Amen. And what I want us to do is all stand. If you're serious, I want you to come down here. I want us to commit together. And then I'm going to share with what we're going to do tonight. If that's you, would you everybody stand? And you want to commit, and you want to do the Lord's will, that's the most important thing in your heart and in your life, and you're willing to pay the price. You're willing to do what the Lord says do. If that's you, come down. Nothing is going to move between you. Now, you got to understand it's obeying the Lord's commands. It's doing His will. Now, if I look right, then everybody in this church has come down. And we have a real commitment thing here. Now, tonight we're coming in. We're going to praise the Lord, and then we're going to pray. We're going to pray for 30 minutes or so. It's difficult. I don't know if you've ever committed yourself to that kind of prayer time. And then every first Sunday of every month, we're going to come in, we're going to praise, we're going to pray, and we're shooting for an hour of seeking God's face. Seeking God for real things that will change our lives, but main thing is change our nation, change our city. I encourage you to be meditating about it and be in prayer about what to be in prayer about. Read Psalms. See what David prayed. See what Paul prayed. But we're coming in tonight to prayer. We praise the Lord on Sunday mornings. I really believe we accomplish more in praise on Sunday mornings than we accomplish anything else. We accomplish the study of the Word on God for God on Wednesday nights. We come in on Wednesday nights and we go into the Word of God. That's all we do. We come in, we don't sing, we pray, and we get into the Word of God. I believe that's when that's accomplished. Sunday night has always been a mystery to me. Nothing ever seems to really happen on Sunday night except fellowship. And fellowship is a type of prayer. Lance had a revelation as we had communion and we were talking about the sacraments of the Lord. Dr. Ted was talking about tithing and how the relationship has developed around your giving with other individuals. Also, we were talking about communion. It's developed around other individuals. Your water baptism, what are you baptized into? You're baptized into Jesus, into His body. That's developed around relationships. You can't walk in Jesus Christ without having relationships. Amen. Some of them are fun, some of them are Saul's. Okay? That's just the way it is. That's the way that God's made this thing, but it's to raise up the David in all of us. Now that's what we're committed to. That's what we're committing to. And we're going to come in tonight, we're going to pray. We're going to put ourselves on this carpet, or you can sit on the chair, whatever, how you want to pray. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not making any edicts here on how we're going to do it. We're just going to do it. We're going to pray. We're going to seek the Lord. We're going to put our face before Him. Amen. Amen. Join hands.